Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom business meeting where we are doing the bylaw reviews and the land discussion. I'm going to open up the mics and as people join in, we just want to greet you. Shalom, Sister Mary.
Shalom, Brother Miles. How are you?
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, brother. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm doing great as well. Thank you. Shalom, Brother Gary. All Are you muted or you just don't want to talk? All right, I'm going to tell you just don't want to talk.
Shalom, shalom, shalom.
All right, shalom. All right, as people join, I will open up their mics. We are going to be talking about, still talking about the prohibited conduct of members of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry, conduct that, you know, the Most High just doesn't condone. And so we want to be in line with the Word, and we want everybody to know, you know, what the accepted behavior is. I think a lot of times people join an organization and, you know, they join a church and they don't want people to know that they behave badly or do whatever. But sometimes it is the actual organization itself that promotes some of this bad behavior. And so we want to make sure that we are not doing certain things, and that, you know, and people understand that they're not condoned. The behavior is not condoned. We are to hold each other accountable. And so I'm gonna wait about, give everybody about 5 minutes to see who else comes in. If not, we will proceed. As far as the land goes, I'll give an update on that. And then, you know, we're talking about doing hydroponics and testing that out. So I did go and buy the pieces. I actually bought 4 complete hydroponic units because I wanted to teach my family, but I also want to teach us here online this technology. And so I'm going to make one out of PVC that, you know, could be made anywhere. But this one that I'm making out of PVC is going to be used outside. So I'm going to, you know, attach it to my wall and see how, you know, the sun is not crazy this time of year. So this should be a good time of the year to grow certain things. I need to do this like probably yesterday. But, you know, I've just been so busy trying to finish up with Amazon. So tomorrow is my last day with Amazon. And so trying to make sure that, you know, I had everything done that I needed to have done. And then finishing up the last task with them. Then I started looking at solar installation jobs. And I really want that so that, you know, like I said, I can have the experience of actual solar installation, the sales. But, you know, they're going to teach all about that industry and the actual installation and the different pieces, because we are going to have a solar system that's going to provide part of the electricity. And so I will get a job doing that. I can make money doing it, but, you know, I'm going to do it as a contractor so that I can put in whatever time I want to put in. And if some sales come my way that's going to help pay for the land and what have you, then that's all well. If not, you know, we are prepared to do otherwise. And then, as I said, I really want to sell this atmospheric water generator, but I want to sell this. It's a larger one. You know, they have some out there that create like 5 gallons a day, and that's fine for a single family, you know, or if you're in survival mode and you need to create, you know, you don't have any water and you want to create water, but we're looking to sustain a community. So I can't use one that small. It needs to be a commercial, more so of a commercial model. And like I said, I talked to the owner of the one that created, you know, that actually started this technology out of Texas. And so, you know, he's willing to work with me. Haven't been able to raise all the money that he's requiring, but, you know, we're going to work on it. One way or another, I'm going to buy one from him. If it's not now, then as soon as I can, as soon as we can do it, is the goal. So I don't really want to dig a well. We could do that, but this water is cleaner. You know, we wouldn't have to be filtering it or anything like that, and then we don't know what's, you know, gone down into the ground into the actual groundwater. So that is the goal. Once I am finished with Amazon, then it'll free me up during the day to, you know, do some things that I just don't have the time to work on right now. Had to go yesterday. There is a water pipe that runs through the land that the farmer had, actually the rancher had, that he's still using. You know, this was a huge ranch. I'm talking about million plus acres. So he was selling off, you know, parts of it, and he had a water pipe that ran through right in front of our property that we bought and kind of segments it a little bit. And so I had to go sign some papers that if we dig and we hit the water pipe, that the rancher will pay to move it. You know, we won't have to pay to repair it or anything because it's on our land. But we're giving him the right to, as long as we don't hit it, you know, we give him the right to use the pipe up under the land. The rancher has agreed that should we, you know, come in and we're actually bulldozing or something like that and we hit it, that they will pay to move it and, you know, to put it where it needs to go, on the outside of the property. So that, you know, that's a good thing. And if, you know, if we are planning to do something that we're planning to do something and we would hit and we know that this pipe is there and that, you know, we have potential to hit it and we want them to move it, then I just need to give them like 21 days notice that, you know, we need the pipe moved, and then they got 21 days from that point to move it to where it's not going to interfere, you know, with the property. So those types of things. I can't wait to get back up there. And shalom, Sister Denise. If you're talking,
shalom,
you're on
Brother
mute.
Miles. Sorry, I was on mute.
Amen. Amen. That's what I thought. I hope all is well with you.
It is. It is.
Amen. 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 All right. So we're moving forward. Like I said, I'm going to videotape as I build and put together these hydroponic systems and, you know, sort of use them as training videos for myself and for you guys, so that we understand the technology and should we decide to employ it on the land, then we should all have an understanding of how it works, because, you know, everybody will need to work it. I need to understand how it works until we, you know, get things in place and get, you know, duties more defined and what have you. I was just looking at shipping containers and hoping that when they open up the port, these prices start to come down. These 40-foot shipping containers, 40 foot by 8 feet by 9 feet tall, ranging anywhere from, you know, depends upon where you get it at, and I'm looking, trying to look up close to this area, but here in my local area can range anywhere from $2,200 to, they call it one-time use. I've seen them, you know, as high as $10,000. I don't want to pay that much for a shipping container, not $10,000. If we can get them for $1,000 or $2,000, then that would be a good thing. So that's what we're looking to do. And like I say, having one on the property, I think the next time that I go up there, I saw a place that sells them. I'll have to see, I would like to contact them before I go up there and get a price without them seeing me. Because, sometimes you can be in a certain part of the country, and if they don't know what color you are, then, you get one price. And then when they see what color you are, you get a different price.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that, I have a price from them before I go, and that way, if they've already quoted it to me, then they can't change it.
Amen.
Right.
That kind of deal, but the welders and the tillers and the welder and the tiller. I was going to buy a what they call a it's a cutter that is not that expensive. Everything being considered, it's not that expensive that cuts through this type of metal. So that, if I tried to do it with the welder, then, the cuts could come out kind of funky looking because you're melting the steel and they wouldn't be straight. It could be kind of jagged.
Right.
And I don't want to do that. So it's called a plasma cutter, and it just will cut right through it. So, get me a board or whatever to line it up and just run the plasma cutter, make the line and then run the plasma cutter down in a straight line down the board, and it just cuts right through it like butter. And, so that's going to make it easier when modifying these containers. But anyway, I can't wait to get back up there. I wanted to go the week of Thanksgiving week. I'll see what's going on. I need to find a truck. I want to use truck. So just, a lot of things going on. But I've already moved the money into place to buy all the stuff that we've already talked about but the truck. And so it's just a matter of shopping it out and getting it so that we can actually, start to do what we need to do on the land. But as far as, the food goes and that kind of stuff, we're going to do the hydroponics. Like I said, my wife wanted to do herbs. My wife and my daughter wanted to do herbs. They wanted to do healing stuff. I said, okay. But then I want you to be the expert on it. And, learn how to do it, and then I and my son were going to grow something else, just as a learning experience. Then as far as making money, I think I asked you guys to look up this technology and then look up like microgreens, which is just, growing certain vegetables and like certain types of grass that they use in, these health drinks and, greens and those types of stuff that they grow, but they don't allow them to grow to maturity. So they don't allow them to grow about 7 or 8 days, 10 days at the most, and they cut them. Because it's supposed to be when they're supposed to be more nutrient or nutritious. But there is a market for that. And so I'm going to look into it here and see, with the restaurants and things like that, if I can do a part-time business, see if, if the market is here for it, or if I got to become one of those on the side road vegetable stands, you know, at a farmer's market or something. We'll see. But, you know, just different ways to, when I'm not up there working the land, then I need to have a way to continue to generate income. And I want it to also be a way that, you know, people who come can also do it. Or if you do it, you know, where you're at. But just things that are food for thought. So that probably this weekend or Monday coming up, the coming week, I gotta find my tax papers so that I can file with the IRS and do what I need to do. But then, you know, all my time is going to be spent putting together, like I said, these hydroponic units and setting them up and, you know, filming it so that I can share it with the family, with you guys. That is where we're at with the land and, you know, those things associated with it. So, you know, shopping out, I'm really looking for the container because for security purposes and what have you, I need to have one put on the property. So as I take stuff up there, you know, I just can't leave it outside. But, you know, put a strong lock. There shouldn't be only people that should know that we're out there are the actual sellers of the land. They should be the only ones that know that we're there. So I don't really foresee somebody coming and trying to steal, but you never know. So I want to at least, so that I can put insurance on it, say that it was secure. It was locked inside this container and somebody broke the lock off or did whatever. So they can't say, well, oh, you just had it out there and we don't want to pay off or whatever. But that's where we're at. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. And again, as people join, I will open their mics. And let's see. Let's do our statement of faith, and then we'll open up the business meeting. And that's the wrong thing. Okay. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe that, I believe that I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. We glorify you and we magnify and we lift you up, Father. We thank you for being with us today, Father. We thank you for your manifold blessings. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We just come and to serve you, Father, on today. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. You are our Elohim, and only you shall we serve. Hallelujah. We give you thanks on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. We are going to be going to Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Amen and amen. All right, I make a motion that we bring this meeting to order. All in favor say aye.
I second the motion. Aye.
Thank you, my sister. I keep forgetting that. Second the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. Okay. We are continuing in the prohibited conduct of members of the body. Because as we come together in a community, there has to be an accepted standard of behavior. That behavior is defined by the scriptures. And so we want to make sure that, you know, everybody that signs on, you know, even if they are not part of the community and taking part in the land, still if they're a member of this congregation, they have to agree to abide by these standards. Okay? We are not trying to be hell raisers. We're not trying to stay in the world. But we are trying to live holy and sanctified lives before the Most High. And we need to hold each member to the same standards. So if people don't want to be held accountable, then they don't really need to come and join. They don't need to take part in.
Amen.
Just that simple. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. So any covenant fellowship partner or those who are in covenant fellowship with the body of Yah's Noble Kingdom Ministry, found guilty of any of the following offenses shall be subject to removal from the body covenant fellowship, from the body, as not to be considered as members anymore. Proverbs chapter 6, and let's start in verse 16. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. And shalom, peace and blessings. I believe this is Sister Laura.
Shalom.
Shalom, my sister. All right. We are in Proverbs chapter 6, and we will be reading verses 16 through 19. And we're talking about acceptable behavior from the body, you know, from the body members, from the members of Yah Global Kingdom. We want to line up with the scriptures, and, you know, we are to hold each other accountable in our walks. We don't want to be hypocritical. We don't want to be two-faced or backstabbing. But, you know, we all want to walk upright before the Most High. We want to be able to trust each other and love each other.
Yes.
And so we, you know, we got to know that we hold each other to a certain standard, and that each individual does what holds themselves to this standard. So, verse 16, these six things does Yah hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And we talked about this before, so we're going to not dwell on it. But a proud look, somebody that's prideful, a lying tongue, somebody that lies. If they lie, you can't believe nothing they say. A hands that shed innocent blood, you know, people that are quick to run to a fight and or to want to go to blows and draw blood for no reason, just because, you know, somebody upset them or whatever. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Now, this covers a lot of different things because, you know, in this day and time and age with the Internet, you know, people are online. They are pretending to be what they want to be. You know, and they don't actually realize it's another person on the other side of the computer. So, you know, out there putting on a public image that, you know, putting on a internet image that is not them, who are just imagining, you know, they get caught up in porn. And this is one of the real big problems with porn is it makes people think, especially the young people who don't know no better, that this is what sex is all about. This is what, you know, your love life is supposed to be about, just trying to do any and everything. Devising wicked imaginations, trying to get over on people, devising schemes to take people's money, just being wicked and using their brain to take advantage of people, come up with wicked schemes, okay? Feet that are swift to running to mischief. Again, whether it's man or woman, we don't want to be quick to run to mischief. We don't want to be quick to really to be running to mischief, period. We want to be in control of our members, our bodies, our thoughts, and what we're doing. In our thoughts, we want to make sure that they are pure. You know, a brother should be able to look at a sister and she just be a sister. Without, you know, his mind going to, I'd like to get with her, and vice versa. You know, not saying that people shouldn't be in relationships or things like that, but they should be godly relationships. Relationships that are sanctioned by the Most High. No shacking up. You know, let's just hook up because I'm lonely. So we don't want to be quick to run to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies. You know, especially when we got friends and we may not like a certain person or we don't get along with this person and we're going to gang up on them. And if something ain't true, we're all going to agree. We're going to say it because we want everybody to think this way. Or we're going to stick together and be cliquish. Say something that is not true. Most High hates a liar, and then he hates somebody that even more so that is a false witness. So you know that what you're saying is not the truth, and you're witnessing to an event, and you're going to say that you saw this event or you know that it took place, and or you're just going to lie about the facts of the event. Those things, you know, these things that we're talking about, they can't be tolerated. You know, I was taught as a boy coming up, and I've always maintained this, you are only as good as your word.
Amen.
And if your word, if you ain't got nothing left, you lose everything. At least you got your word, and that should be good.
Amen.
And if your word is no good, then you are no good.
No good.
I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what your status is. If your word is no good, then you are no good.
Mm-hmm.
So if we maintain that, that our word is our bond, and that we, you know, in as much as is possible, that our word is good. You know, you might make a promise to somebody and circumstance causes you not to be able to keep it. But that's not that you were lying, something happened and you couldn't keep it. That's different. Then you know, you tell somebody you're going to do something that you know you're not going to do. You ain't got no intent of doing it, but you're going to tell them you're going to do it anyway. No, we don't want that, okay? So we don't want false witnesses. We don't want people who are going to lie on other people. We don't want people who are going to backbite and spread rumors. We don't want, you know, anybody that's contentious like that. Nobody's perfect, and, you know, we all have our little flaws because none of us is perfect. But if we are out to start mess, this is what this next one is about, that sows discord among the brethren. This is a person that, you know, just starts mess and want to have one person against another person or this group against that group. And, that is just, it's just wickedness, it's evil. And, you know, when we are about mess like that, starting mess, then no, that can't be tolerated. We don't have time for that. And it only causes contention and strife and hurt feelings and anger. You know, and it causes people to want to come to blows, you know, to come to angry words. He said, she said, those kind of things. Trying to pit one person against another. We don't want that. Can't be amongst us. If that's all you got to say, it's best that you don't say anything. Because the truth of the matter is, if it's always coming back to so-and-so said, so-and-so said, and they are the ones that seem to be causing the contention, even if they're telling the truth, that don't mean that you got to repeat everything that you hear.
Amen.
You don't have to participate. So these things, you know, they get started and they go on because somebody spreads a rumor about somebody and then somebody chooses to repeat it. And it is just wickedness. It's never going to come out to any good. That's why the Most High said for a lot of these offenses, you had to have two or three witnesses. Somebody couldn't come up and say, so-and-so said this. Now, you know, and some people will try to take advantage of that kind of stuff. So you might have a brother that, you know, cracks on this sister. But she can't come by herself and say, you know, this person did this. She can, you know, she can say it in confidence. You know, this brother is trying to get with me, and I've already told him, you know, I'm not eligible, I'm not interested. And then, you know, nothing's going to be said to him as long as, you know, he doesn't continue to press the point. One of the things I learned in the military is what harassment is, okay? And the definition that I go by is simply this. You know, if a brother is, he's single, the woman is single, he's got an interest in her, she's got interest in him, because, you know, you got some formal women too. But he comes and makes his intentions known. And she says, no, I'm not interested. At that point, that conversation should stop.
Oh, yes.
And he should not, you know, be trying to pursue it any further. If he continues to pursue it and she doesn't want that attention, then it becomes what? Harassment. And that can't be tolerated. Nobody should have to be, you know, put up with such things. And so it's this type of behavior. Because, you know, you get into a community and I already know you're going to have some knucklehead that just thinks that it's okay to do this type of stuff, and they're going to find out quickly that it's not. If a sister don't want your advances, then stop approaching her that way. Or else we're going to find that we're going to say you got to go. Because nobody should be up under that type of pressure.
Amen.
And that's the likewise with the same way with a sister. Like, most brothers won't complain about that. Just be real. Sister cracking on a brother, typically he ain't going to complain about that. He ain't going to look at that as in the same way that a sister might look at it. But there are, like I know, everything is not one-sided. You know, women can be just as forward as men. But, you know, if it's known that she is doing that with a number of men, then there's going to be a problem. Sister, you can't be doing that. You know, if we need to make a way that we say, oh, these sisters are looking, or this sister is looking to be married, and there is somebody that's eligible in the group, then, you know, she can make that this is her desire, or this man desires that, and he's looking for a sister. But, you know, everything has to be done decent and in order. And nobody should be feeling like they're pressured into doing anything. And we need to make sure that the relationship lines up with the word of the Most High. Period. And so there are standards. And those standards, you know, we will enforce. Okay, so it says, you know, anybody that's caught doing these things, you know, we need to, first, there's a warning. That's the first admonition. That's the first violation. Then after the second one, you got to go. That's what the word says to do. Okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Behavior that is not acceptable. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 10. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 All right, thank you.
Amen. Come on, Luke.
Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. This is why, you know, when we're talking about Torah and we're talking about the Old Covenant and we're reading and we're going through the Old Covenant to see what the Most High's judgments are on a thing. Because anything that he has already judged on, we can't change that judgment. And if he hasn't judged on it, then we're at leeway to come to a righteous judgment. But the thing of the matter is, we got to be of the same mind. You got to believe this word. And if we use the word and not our own standard, then we won't come up with these different standards. If we use the word of the Most High, that is the standard. And then we have to agree that this is what we're going to abide by. We have to be of the same mind. Can't be any divisions. That you be perfectly joined together. The only way you're going to be perfectly joined together is that that I know of, because, see, this is what I know. I can have an opinion and an understanding about something, and you can have an opinion, and the chances are if we got 10 different people, we got 10 different understandings and 10 different opinions. And we might be able to agree in part in some way, especially if we use our own selves as the standard. But if we use the word of the Most High, it is rock solid. This is what the word says. That has to be the standard. Then we don't have to worry about personal opinions. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Because it's very easy for, you know, somebody to have gone through something and now they feel a certain way about a certain thing. And because they feel that certain way, or, you know, they went through a certain thing, then now this is their position. And their position may be contrary to the word of the Most High. But this is where they personally stand that on the matter. And I get a lot of that, you know, when I'm talking to people, when I'm counseling, people through their own experiences develop their own opinions, their own understandings, and their own morals. And the only thing I'm going to say to them is simply this. If your position does not line up with the word of the Most High, we're going to always go with the word of the Most High.
Amen.
Just that simple. That way you can't say it's my opinion. Because this is what people will do. You know, and yeah, it's just that simple. It has to be, the word of the Most High has to be the standard.
Amen.
Okay, so, and that's the standard that, you know, I'm going to be like this. I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm not going to hold you accountable until I teach it. And then once I teach it, then I'm going to say you're accountable. Because you can't say you're ignorant to it.
Yeah.
This is the standard of the Most High. It's the standard he uses. He said, you know, if you don't know, you're ignorant of it, then I'm not going to hold you accountable for that. But the day that you find out that it's wrong, you repent. And you turn away from it. Now, if you are taught, then you have no excuse. If you are of sound mind, and, you know, I try to teach things in such a way that, you know, as the scripture said, even the simple-minded can get it.
Amen, bro.
Okay. So let's read this verse again, because this is what's lacking in a lot of organizations. People are coming and doing their own thing, and they are not of one mind. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, that you all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. Let's continue to read here. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? We are all many members in one body. And so we need to understand that we're supposed to be functioning as one body. Many members, but in one body. So if we're going to be one body, then we have to think the same way. We have to agree on the same things. We have to agree to abide by the same judgments. that we speak the same things, or else it's going to always be confusion. Okay. So he's saying, hey, some of y'all saying y'all are this person, some of y'all that person. He says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So in everything we do, we need to be at one in Messiah. But we need to have an understanding of the scripture, and we need to be taught truth. Because there's just so many, so many doctrines out there. And so if you can't read it, and we're reading in the English, okay? And I will stick to the English, and where, you know, I will go to the Hebrew and the Greek when I need an understanding of the context in that language to what's being said. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, we're not all teachers.
Nope.
We're not all pastors.
Nope.
We're not all healers. And so we need to stick to where the Most High puts us.
Amen.
And we all need to what? Study to show ourselves what? Approved. Let's drop down here. Let's drop down to verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the truth. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe, the teacher? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not Elohim made foolish the wisdom of this world? When we don't come with the Ruach HaKodesh, and we're not letting the Ruach lead us, we will try to govern by the wisdom of the world. And that is definitely not always prudent, especially when it comes to living a godly life. The standards of the Most High are not the same standards of the world. Actually, they're stricter. He requires much of us. So the world today will teach you that it's okay to shack up. It's okay to be in a relationship and have sex and not be married.
Not be married, yeah.
Yeah, it'll teach you that. That's not the Most High standard. And so we can't bring that wisdom of the world into this. That's why I say we have to use the word of the Most High. We have to use his standard and his judgments. Because the world will say these things are okay. And then when we try to bring the world into this environment, then you know we're going to have, there's going to be a bumping of heads. We're going to have somebody saying and doing something they ought not be saying and doing. We're going to have somebody acting in a way they ought not be acting. And then want to be held accountable according to the world standard. But we're going to be held accountable to the Most High standard. Because that's the only thing that's going to get us into the kingdom. And what I do know is this. If you're not committed to it, you won't be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just that simple. That's why people come up with all these excuses, because they're really not committed. In order to do anything, I don't care whether it's your job, anything, you have to be committed to it. You want a relationship to work, you got to be committed to it. You got to be able to see that person's flaws and accept them with their flaws, or help them to correct them And then the person, you know, has to be willing, if they see that it's a flaw, if they see in their own mind that that's a flaw with them, they have to be willing to what? Change it. You cannot make a drug addict not be a drug addict if they're not ready not to be a drug addict.
Amen.
You can want the best for them all you want. If they're not ready to be committed to it, they're not going to change. Matter of fact, they'll be lying to you, looking for the way to get over on you. How can I get some money out of them so I can get high?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How can I get them to go get me a drink because I need a drink? So how can I play on them? So they're not ready to be committed. And you can't make them do what it is you want them to do. So, and even with this walk with the Word of the Most High and living a sanctified and a holy life, you got to be committed to that.
Amen.
If you're still in the world and committed to doing the things that you were doing in the world, you're not going to be able to commit and do this. Because your heart is still someplace else. It's not going to be satisfying to you. You're going to always feel like you're missing something because you desire these other things. Let's go to chapter 12. Same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's get verse 25. And when you have it, you say amen.
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 All right, thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. That there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. When I got your best interest in my heart and you got my best interest in your heart, when you are looking out for my welfare, my good, and my motive is looking out for your good, then we're not going to be trying to take advantage of each other. We're not going to be looking to say, oh, you're trying to get over on me. You're trying to use me. If I prefer you before me, and I'm always, you know, no, you go first. Or you take the biggest piece. Or you take the first piece, whatever the case may be. I'm always looking to out for your benefit first. Then there's not going to be any schisms in the body. And especially if you're genuine with it. Genuine. I genuinely, you know, want to put you first. I genuinely want to see your welfare and look out for your welfare first. And you're not doing it with ulterior motives. So let me ask everybody a question. Anybody ever wanted to be loved unconditionally? They wanted that to be their love in their life. The person that they're with, they wanted them to love them unconditionally. No?
Yes. Yeah.
Everybody wants to be loved unconditionally, I believe.
But are you able to love unconditionally?
I am. I can accept the person for what they are.
All right. Amen.
That might be what, because I can't change you. And then if I change you, you're not going to be who you are. You're going to be something else.
Okay, so that word to love somebody unconditionally means without any condition. I love you in spite of yourself. I love, you know, the things about you, even the ugly. There's no if. I love you if. Now, does the Most High love that way?
So I think he loves you if you do what he says.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what he says. If you obey my voice, if you keep my commandments, there's an if condition. It's not unconditional.
Yeah.
It's not despite, you know, your every little flaw. Because he don't expect us, you know, he don't expect us to say flawed. He says, be thou what? Perfect, right?
Holy.
And be holy. But be thou perfect, for I am perfect. Be thou holy, for I am holy. His love is not unconditional. And really, you know, it's very few people that can love unconditionally. So if I slip up and have an affair, you still love me. If I go out and drink up all the money, you still love me. So that's unconditional love. No matter what I do, there's nothing I can do that's going to make you stop loving me.
Right.
That's unconditional.
But then I don't have to deal with you, though.
Wait a minute. You love me unconditionally. What are you talking about? You got to deal with me.
Right.
I want to be with you. Because don't nobody love me like that.
Okay.
Just saying.
To love you at a distance.
Yeah, in a distance. That ain't unconditional. I love you if you act all right. There's a condition there now.
But I have to love you anyway because it's a commandment, number one.
Yeah, you have to love me. But you don't have to be accepting of all of my behavior. If I come home every day and just slap you upside the head, literally just slap you upside
the
head. Yeah, that ain't going to work, right?
Mm-mm.
And I make money, and, you know, I say I'm bringing the money home to you, but it always seems like every week before I can get home, I got to stop by the bar. When I get home, I got less than half my paycheck. And somehow you can't really pay all the bills. You know, it's a lot of things that go into relationships that cause people to, financial usually is what causes people to have hardship, you know, and have jacked up relationships.
That is infidelity.
Say that again?
Money and infidelity.
Yes. Money and infidelity. The two biggest problems in most relationships today. But even when, you know, the relationship is solid, if money ain't, then there's a problem. Because, you know, most women want to be secure. They want to know that, you know, the house note is going to be paid, that the bills are going to be paid, there's going to be food in the house. Don't want to have to worry about those things. You know, and then, you know, even in those relationships, if the man is honestly trying, and, you know, we just not making enough, then that's one thing. But what he makes, he goes and he blows it on something else, you know, whether it's drugs or alcohol or another woman, that's going to always be an issue. But the Most High wants us to not have a schism in the body. So we're not even talking about a husband and wife. We're just talking about interrelationships between people in the body. So, you know, we are used to dealing with a household, our own household. And, you know, then we implement the morals and the standards that we were raised with in our own house, husband and wife, children, that kind of stuff. But then we also start talking about community. then we also need to be looking at there's a standard of behavior. And so right now, people say, you know, what goes on in my house is my business. But the truth of the matter is, if you are doing things that are not godly, then it's going to affect the community. That's why he says, let there be no schism in the body. He's not talking about the marriage between the husband and the wife. He's talking about the marriage between each member. There's a relationship there. And when we try to keep ourselves separate and apart, and this is my business and that's your business, that goes only so far.
True.
And this is a mentality that a lot of people can't get, because it's not the way that we're brought up. You know, most of us were taught, when even in our families, that, you know, brothers and sisters don't stay together. We grow up and we get our own place and we live our own separate life. But when you look at the relationships in the scriptures, it wasn't that way. Families did what? They stuck together.
Yeah.
Mother, father, children, husbands, wives of, you know, typically the girls left home, not the man. Remember when we were reading about the girls who their father had died and he had no sons, and so they were not going to get an inheritance in the land?
Mm-hmm.
And then Moses, the Most High told Moses that these women were to marry men in their family so that the land wouldn't go out to another family.
Right.
And so in the marriages, who was leaving home?
The women.
The women. Not the man. The woman married into a family. And when she left, she took with her possessions into that family. She became one with her husband. Her possessions became his, and his hers, supposed to be. And the boys stayed home. They went out, and they when I say they stayed home, there was a family business. So if my father was a tent maker, more than likely I would be a tent maker. And we would be in the family business. And we would all, you know, I would teach my son my trade, and he would just become, you know, an extension of me. And as we grew prosperous, then that just mean he would get a bigger inheritance. And especially if he was a firstborn, then he would get double the inheritance. But we don't really structure our families that way today. Kids grow up, move out, and they're gone. They're making their own life. So this concept of family, this concept of body, this concept of unity, this concept of one mind, it is foreign to us today. And then we wonder, you know, what do they have to offer to youth? Unity. We are of the same mind. We're going to have the same standard. We don't have to believe everything the same, but we are, you know, you my brother, and you're my sister, and we are, you my ride or die. We're in the same, quote-unquote, family, even though we're not blood related. And we're doing the same things, whether it's getting high together or stealing together or gang-banging together, whatever it is, we're doing it together as one. And you mess with one of us, you have to mess with who? All of us.
All of us.
Yes. Yeah.
That's that gang mentality, but that's supposed to be the real, true family mentality.
Man.
And we have gotten away from it. And so when we're trying to come together as a community like this, we have to all be one for another. You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. I'm looking out for your good. You're looking out for mine. You can't even find that in a lot of blood families. Brothers and sisters fighting against each other. Kids, you know, don't have a relationship with the parents. But it's not the Most High's way. And, you know, even the children have to understand that when everything is said, done, and right, and everybody's of the same mindset, anybody can discipline them if they see them doing wrong.
Right.
And they have to, you know, the parents have to be willing to allow somebody else to discipline their child.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, we're not going to go for no abuse. We're not going to go for any, you know, harassment or abusive behavior because, you know, again, you got people who will try to take advantage of all kind of situations. And that's why it's very important that everybody, you know, we're not naive, but, you know, we're not going to be looking for somebody to do wrong, but we're not going to be blind to it either.
Mm.
And so, you know, I will give people, like I said, I will give you the benefit of the doubt until you give me a reason not to. So somebody accused somebody of something, then I'm not going to accuse them of it, but my eyes will be, you know, I will be more apt to be looking out for it. Anything that looks suspicious, because you know, if somebody is, if somebody loved to mess with little girls, they're gonna be trying to sneak and do things. And so, you know, I will always be attentive to those things. Brother, what you doing? You don't want to even appear for this to be, you know, something sideways. So, you know, I won't say that it's going on unless there's too many coincidences or somebody comes up, you know, a little girl accuses them. I'll be like, now, why would she lie? But there are, again, I've seen devious little girls too. And so everything, you know, you have to have, Sodom Mostai says there has to be more than one accuser. But those things would always be on my mind and I'd always be looking. Even when they don't think I'm looking. Go to Galatians chapter 5. The book of Galatians chapter 5. Well, before we go to Galatians chapter 5, let's get verses 26 and 27 here because we got to understand this mentality. So he says, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, with that one member. or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it, with that member. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So we are one body, but we are individual members of the body. And each individual member, just like in the individual cells in your body, have what? They all need to, all the cells in your body need to eat, need to be fed, they need oxygen, and then they need to do what they were designed to do so that they are productive. Let's go to Galatians. Chapter 5. So people who are going to cause schisms in the body by not being of the same mind, by not wanting to live by the same judgments, those things can't be allowed. We have to be of the same mind. Galatians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, and when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen, my sister. These works can't be tolerated. Let's actually start in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such, of which I tell you before, and I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Elohim. So these things cannot be allowed. These things will cause you not to do what? Enter into the kingdom. We all are striving to get into the kingdom of the Most High.
Ooh, amen.
If we allow these behaviors amongst the members, a little bit of leaven does what?
Leaven the whole lump.
So you can't be suffering somebody that's getting drunk or high or practicing witchcraft or idolatry. And see, people have their own definitions of some of these things. So our definitions need to be what the Most High's definitions are. And they need to be taught so that we are on what? The same page. Idolatry. The world says that if you're married and you sleep with another person's spouse, you have committed adultery. But that's not the Most High's definition. That's one of them. But we have to go by his definition. A lot of the brothers are teaching the women that if they sleep with them, that they are married. No. If they just sleep with you and you aren't married, then you are what?
Fornicating.
And that's all you're doing is fornicating. Now, if you're married to somebody, then you are also committing adultery. And so we're not going to even get into polygamy in this conversation. Because that's a whole different subject. But adultery, because then you would have to say, oh, Abraham, because Abraham was married to Sarah and to Hagar. By our definition today, he would be an adulterer. But he's not an adulterer by the Most High's definition. Jacob. Mostly all the patriarchs. Different definition by the Most High. But Messiah said, if a man looks at a woman and lusts after her, he is an adulterer. So fornication is having sex with somebody that you're not married to. And you being married, having sex with them doesn't automatically make you married. If that's the case, if a man sleeps with another man's wife, then now he's married to her too. She got two husbands now. So people are twisting these things. That's why I say the word of the Most High has to be the standard, because the world has a different standard. The world don't even consider it a sin today if two people sleep together.
Uh-uh.
It's expected. Uncleanliness. How many of us were taught that if we were unclean, we can't enter into the kingdom of heaven? If we practice uncleanliness by the word of the Most High. You know, most people just think, I'm just unclean. I can wash and I'm okay. Now, if you practice uncleanliness and you stay in that condition, you can't. If you are unclean and you take part in the holy things, that's a big sin. Lasciviousness. All I think about is sex. Everything reminds me of sex. I can see a tree and it looks like a phallus to me. Or I can see a tree and it looks like a woman's part to me. That's where my mind is at. Everything is about sex. That's a lascivious mind. Idolatry. You can be worshiping the Most High and worship him in a way that he has not said that is him, and you would be an idolater because you will have made up a god in your own mind. And this is what a lot of people do. They make up how the Most High is in their own mind. They don't go by what he says. So a lot of them will say, you know, I couldn't serve a god that will do this. Or I couldn't serve a god that will do that. And if he was my god, he'd be this way. That's making up your own god. It's making up your own Elohim, and that's idolatry. You see, people think that you got to carve, you know, take a piece of wood or a piece of stone and carve out a god. No, you don't. Because what you would carve had to start where? In your mind. And so when you make a god, even the Most High, when you make him be the way you want him to be and not the way he says he is, then you are making up your own god. Witchcraft. You use spells and incantations and the natural elements, plants and minerals, to affect the way a person thinks, to make them do your will. Most High says, he don't like that. And that can be male or female. Hatred. Having a strong dislike of somebody to the point that you just can't stand them. You'd rather see them hurt than anything else come to them. You know, and if you are a violent person, You'd be the one to do the deed to them if you could. You know, I'd bust your head wide open if I could, if it was me. Can't stand you. And really can't stand you. There are people in the world like that. Variance. Let's look at this word variance. And let's get the definition for this one. I don't remember what this one was. Variance, according to Webster. And I'm just going to look it up real quick. To vary. In law, an alteration of something formerly laid in a writ. A difference between a declaration and a writ or the deed in which it is grounded. So remember when the scripture said that we should be of the same mind?
Right.
And when we aren't of the same mind, then we vary in our understanding. We vary in our belief. That's variance. And so if we vary from the Most High, what the Most High says, you can vary with me all you want. But who you better line up with is the who, the Most High.
Most High.
And so if it is written and it's established, then that's what you better be agreeing in. Because he says, even to be at variance, you won't enter into the kingdom. That's hard. Emulations. Let's see, that's to emulate. So let me just look up emulate, or the Greek word here. From zelos, or zelos dazlos. Properly, heat, figuratively zeal, in a favorable sense, adore. In an unfavorable one, jealousy. As of a husband, figuratively, Elohim, or as an enemy, malice. Emulation, envying. So the Most High says that you shall not, envying is the same thing as what? Coveting. I envy you. I want to be like you. I envy what you have. I want what you have. So another word for this is coveting. If I emulate you, then I'm trying to be like you. I'm trying to do the same things you do. And there's only one person that we're supposed to emulate, truthfully, and that's who? Christ. But you know, in the right context, emulating, especially don't emulate to do evil. So I want to be like you because I want what you have, but what you have, the way you get it, when I learn the way that you get it, then I want to get it the way you get it. So this would be like somebody who money launders, and you think they got a good business, but what you find out is that they're taking drug money and pouring it into a business so that it make it look clean. And you want to emulate that. We can think of all kind of examples that, you know, we wouldn't want to be that way. But if it's to do good, yes, we would want to emulate that. But not so that we can be, that we envy that person or desire what they have. The behavior is good behavior. Wrath. What is wrath?
Anger.
Anger. To be angry without a cause. Because it's not a sin to be angry. Because he says, be angry in what?
Not sin not.
And sin not. Amen. It's what you do when you're angry. What you say when you're angry. You can offend in your anger. You can lash out in your anger. So he says, be angry and sin not. And you can suffer somebody's wrath if it's what? Justifiable. Okay? So it's not 100% one way. It has to be also be taken in context with what is going on. The Most High says that we're going to feel his what? Wrath. His anger. And we know he's not going to sin. He said his anger is justified. If a person is breaking into your house and you get angry, and they feel your wrath and you kill them, were you justified if they were trying to kill you? Strife. Definition of strife. Let's see. I don't like these definitions. They're not really definitions. To contend with. To, let me go to another place. Well, let me look and see what else they have here as a verb. Contest or quarrel, brawling, contention. When you're causing strife, it means to actually contend with. But it really in a negative sense here in the scriptures is talking about coming against somebody to fight with them, to quarrel and argue with them, to fist fight with them, to sow discord. That's what the strife means in this sentence. Seditions. I wonder how many of us are seditious. Seditions. Disunion, dissension, division. That's seditions. When you're doing something to cause division, especially against, like the authorities, the ones that are in rulership. Your kids can be seditious against their parents by pitting one parent against another. They know, what buttons to push, what to say. When it comes to government, it is, you're talking evil against a certain government. That would be seditious, causing disunity in that government or division. Heresy. Heresies, a party, or abstractly disunion, which is the Greek word itself, sect. Let's look up another definition. Hold on a second. That only gave me one or two. And let me go here. Let's see, belief or opinion contrary to orthodox religion. That's another definition. Opinion profoundly at odds with what is generally accepted. Now, it's very easy to be to be labeled or what, a heretic?
Uh-huh.
Because you don't believe what the masses believe or what everybody else believes concerning a thing? They can say that you're a heretic. If it is concerning the word of the Most High, and I'm going to say again, I think I said this before, if you are contrary to the word of the Most High, whatever his stance is on a thing, then I would think that you would be a heretic. Because his is the judgment and the standard we want to use. And a lot of the times where we get this definition is when religion gets a hold of it and they put their definitions to some things. And then if you don't believe the way that they believe, then you would be heretical to them. So just understand that this means having a difference in what the main view is. Now, if we are all agreeing in one and agreeing together, then this would be somebody who doesn't agree with us. They would be, if they would come against it, then they would be heretical or practicing heresies in accordance with this definition. That's why I say this can't be based upon any one person's opinion. This needs to really be based upon the word of the Most High. Envyings, I think we all know what that is. Murders, taking a life unjustly. Not killing, because murdering and killing are two different things. Just because you take a life doesn't mean that you're a murderer. If you're justified in taking that life, then if the Most High says that if a person does this, my judgment is that they're to die. If you carry out his judgment, then you're not a murderer. You're carrying out his judgment. You're killing them. But if you're taking their life and it's not justified, in other words, you broke into their house and you want their goods, you want what they have, and you killed them in the process, you weren't justified in killing them for their own stuff. And or you break in and a tussle breaks out and they're trying to kill you justifiably because you're in their house. And then you kill them. You're not justified because you were the one committing the act of what? Breaking in. Drunkenness. You know, we often associate drunkenness with just drinking. But this actually would also being high off of whatever substance. You say that you're drunk. Your mind is altered. And if you're living to do that, living to be drunk, living to be high, living to be, you know, have your mind altered because it makes you feel good, it eases you for whatever the reason that you're doing, you're addicted. Just know that the Most High says you can't enter into the kingdom. So no saint, no true saint can allow something to rule them that way. Now, you know, people will say taking any kind of drugs or anything would fit into this. I'm going to say that that's not true. The Bible recognizes doing things for medical reasons. And so the Most High is the greatest healer there is. And he can heal us from anything. But he doesn't prohibit us from taking drugs to affect our health. He doesn't prohibit that. And just like, he, you know, he's talking about the woman, you know, with the issue of blood, said that she had been to many doctors who had tried many things on her. He didn't speak against that. Just that she wasn't healed. She was in bondage to what? That illness. So if you are in pain, because there are people in the world who are in pain, and man has come up with a way to ease your pain, trust me, people who are taking those types of drugs for pain, those drugs don't get them high. It actually does exactly what, you know, it's strange, but let's say if you smoke weed, but you smoke weed because you have fibromyalgia or something like that, and the weed dulls the pain of the fibromyalgia, then it's now for what? Pain control, and the Most High doesn't speak against that. But if you are getting high for the sake of getting high, that's a whole nother thing. That's a whole completely different thing. So, you know, a person that is, as an example, like I said, a person who has fibromyalgia, when they smoke weed, it doesn't get them high, but it relieves that pain. And so we don't want to get into the place where, like I said, we are, you know, I'm drowning myself in my sorrow, so I go get a bottle of whiskey or, you know, whatever, and I'm just going to drink and drink and drink to numb the pain, to numb that. He says, give strong drink, but that's not something that's supposed to last forever. It's not something that we are supposed to allow to take over our life. So drunkenness, for the sake of drunkenness, you know, you can't say how long somebody's going to be grieving, but time cures all our wounds. But what that person would have to be careful of is that they don't get addicted to the alcohol, so now they started off drinking to grieve, and now they drink because they can't stop drinking. Difference there. Reviling. Or reveling. This is partying. Revel rousers. Rioting. Partying, you know, loosely partying where it's okay to celebrate. But then when you're celebrating and you get so drunk that you don't know what you're doing, and then, you know, emotions and your morals and everything else go out the window. Because a lot of people will get drunk and then end up in the bed together and be like, we don't know how that happened. You know how it happened. And you just allow that partying and getting drunk to allow you to do it. And there are people who live to party every weekend. Every chance they get, they're looking for a chance to what? Party. Why are we partying? It's Friday. Why are we partying? It's Friday night. Why are we partying? The sun about to come up. It's going to be Saturday. Just don't, you know, just have any reason to drink and to get high. And to dance and do all this other stuff. But, you know, the scriptures aren't against celebrating. And the scriptures aren't really against having a party if it's not something that you do all the time. It has to be, you know, the occasion has to warrant it. Can't live to party.
Bye.
So, you know, it's not an absolute no partying. It is, you know, we are, there's a holiday with the Most High where he says, go out and buy whatever your heart's desire, even hard liquor, and come and what? Party with me. Did everybody know there was a feast day like that?
Huh?
Did everybody know there was a feast day like that?
Yeah, but I couldn't find it in the book, but yeah, I've heard of it. See, so they can enjoy themselves.
Yeah, I'll get it for you. It's
okay.
I think
thank
it's
you.
Once every 3 years. There's a Sabbath like that, where you bring the tithe, and he says, okay, it may be the tithe of the third year that it you have to look up.
Okay.
Okay.
You're the tithe of the third year. He says, you know, go in and sell what you have, buy whatever it is your heart's desire, and come and party with me. So, it's a, you know, we celebrate with the Most High. Now, me personally, and this is just me personally, nobody else has to be this way or do it this way. When I gave up drinking, I gave up drinking. When I gave up smoking, I gave up smoking. When I gave up smoking weed, I gave up smoking weed. And I don't, you know, do those things even not every now and again. It doesn't even feel right. You know, I bought a bottle of wine. I and my wife bought a bottle of wine because I wanted to, for the blood. You know, they said red wine is good for the blood. And I poured a little bitty baby cup of wine. Like, it wasn't even 2 or 3 ounces, probably. But that little bit gave me a buzz, and I didn't like it. Just didn't want to be there anymore. So, but that's me. Everybody doesn't have to be that, because the scripture don't say you can't drink. I just don't, because I know where it used to take me. I don't smoke because I know where it used to take me. When I stopped drinking, I stopped smoking. But when I stopped smoking, I stopped drinking. I think that was the order. But I just don't have a desire to be high or to have a buzz. Let me put it that way. I said, you know, I don't know what I used to see in this. So when the Most High take it from me, I don't have the desire for it. But he says there's a holiday for that. There is, like, every third year. I have to look it up. It's either, I believe it's the tithe of the third year. And it's one day. Okay. So these are the things that we don't want to do, that we can't tolerate, can't be put up with. Let's go to Ephesians, and then we'll stop here, and we'll pick it up on next week. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to get verses 2 and 3. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Okay, amen. With all lowliness and meekness, and with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Elohim and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given a grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. This is what we should be ascribing to. This is what we should be understanding that our call is, that we should be one to another. The Most High gifts us all to the edifying of the body. Okay, so we are to be striving for this, and we're to be forsaking all those other things, like the lasciviousness and the covetousness and all the negative things. But we should have long suffering one toward another. We should be forbearing, holding up one another in love, endeavoring, working at, to keep the unity of the Spirit. The Most High says, I don't want you to be of all kind of different opinions and different minds. I want you to be of one mind. I want you to be of one spirit. If we are, and if we can understand this, if we can accept it, he says, there is one body, the body of Christ. the body of Messiah. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of strife, there's a lot of divisions in the body of Christ because people want to believe different things. And that's why we have all these different denominations. But he says we are to be one of one spirit. If we were all truly filled with the Spirit of the Most High, if we were all filled with that one spirit, then we would be of one mind. And a lot of people are in the body and they never have been filled by the Spirit of the Most High. They're just claiming to be part of the body. But, you know, I have this question even to the church. Do you think that the Most High, if you had his spirit, that his spirit would teach you to reverence him? Do you think his spirit would teach you to disobey him?
No.
Mm-hmm. See, this is a test within itself. Because the Most High Spirit is not going to teach you to disobey him. His spirit is not going to teach you to not fear him. His spirit is not going to teach you to that you have liberty to do what you want to do.
Amen.
His spirit is not going to teach you to not want to be pleasing to him. I'm going to put my spirit in you and then my spirit is going to teach you to be displeasing to me. Does that even make sense? So when people say that they have the Spirit of the Most High and they don't fear him and, you know, they can feel like they can just sin and it doesn't really affect them, you know, all I got to do is, you know, I feel guilty, but all I got to do is say I'm sorry and then next week I'm doing the same thing. You're not being driven by his Spirit. Because his spirit is not going to drive you to do that.
No.
Mm-hmm. And so.
That's that other Jesus.
Right. And I don't know which one that is, but it ain't the one that's in this book.
No.
So, you know, that's a test for each person within themselves. What spirit is actually motivating you? Because the Spirit of the Most High, if you are filled with his spirit, it's not going to teach you to be contrary to him.
Right.
And it's not going to allow you to be contrary to him. So that should tell us, you know, what spirit is actually motivating people. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we want to congregate. We want to be joined together in the spirit of unity. In your spirit, Father, we want to be of one mind. We want to say the same things. We want to believe the same things. We want to make the same judgments. We want to have one standard, and that's your standard.
Amen.
Place in each and every one of us the ability to understand your word, to accept it and to do it, and let you be our guide and our standard.
Yes.
Let not these things that you have said that you do not want, that will keep us out of the kingdom, let them not be in us. Let us hold each and every one of us accountable to your word and to your standard. Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Make us one heart and one mind. Amen and amen.
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 All right. We will pick this up on next week. hopefully I will get a chance to, you know, make a couple of videos. I do want to make the video concerning the hydroponics units, and then, you know, do updates to those where we can actually see progress with the plants and all that kind of stuff. But I also want to try to make it a training type of video so that you understand what I'm doing and why. I want to, you know, present the science behind it so that, you know, we really understand what we're doing, that we might be successful. And then as we move toward the land and doing this stuff up there, that we also document it. I will document it, and so that we can see progress being made. I am really, you don't know, I don't even sleep hardly now, excited with just proceeding forward. And so I pray that you be excited as well, and know that, like I said, sometime in the next part of next year, I want to do it before Passover or during Passover to bring your sisters down who have committed and let you walk on the land, let you, you know, see that it's real.
Amen.
You know, so that it's not just a video to you. And, you know, to anyone that commits that way, you know, I want us to be able to come and to step foot on it and walk it, just like the Most High had Abraham to walk. Because when I, next time I go up, I'm going to walk the entire property, the boundaries of it. And so that would actually be, end up being a two-mile walk, because it's a half-mile square, so each leg would be a half-mile. So two legs, two sides will be a mile. The other two sides will be 2 miles. But I'm going to walk the entire thing, claiming it in the name of the Most High.
Amen.
Amen.
Claiming it in his name, you know, and I wish you guys could be there, you know, to do it with me. But it's something that I know I have to do.
Amen.
I have to walk it and claim it in his name.
We'll be with you in
and
spirit,
dedicate
bro.
Dedicate it to his kingdom.
We'll be there in spirit, brother.
Amen. Amen. So, that being said, tomorrow is Shabbat. And so I know people are probably getting tired of the Elohim of the Blood Covenant, but we have to do this complete thing. So
not me
people,
either.
Huh?
Not me.
All right, amen. You know, it's one of those, you know, I can tell how many people go and download the lessons. If I do anything other than the Elohim of the Blood Covenant, people be downloading. They don't download those, though. I'm like, okay. But it is what it is.
It is what it is, brother. I'm enjoying it because I'm learning.
Amen. Amen. We will continue in that vein tomorrow. As I said, where it does not cover, where it's not covering the law, the statutes and the commandments, we're looking for how the Most High judges and how he, you know, how he actually behaves and reacts to different things so that we know how our Elohim is going to respond in any given situation, because he says he changes not.
Amen.
So if this is going to make him angry and he's going to judge, that's what he's going to do. If this is what he says it takes to make him have mercy, and if you do these things, he will have mercy, then that's what he's going to do. And so it helps me to understand, even in the New Testament and even in my dealings with people, from that position, that I have to be in line with the Most High.
Amen.
You know, and, you know, can't let somebody tell me something that is contrary to him. You know, you, hey, that's what you understand, that's what you believe, but this is what he's shown us in the scriptures. And so, you know, I hope that we are learning that he just don't play.
Amen.
He don't play. And people are taking him for granted, and they're just gonna be resurrected to, you know, a rude awakening. Because he, you know, where they're thinking that he's all merciful and all forgiving, he is really not that way.
Nope.
Only if you obey him, he says, is he merciful. If you obey him. But when we're disobedient, you know, we change our status. So we ought to be very fearful that we don't walk contrary to him. That should keep us, you know, the Most High knows that anybody can fall. But he's not looking for us to what? Try to fall.
Right.
He's not looking for us to willfully, intentionally put ourselves in a position that we fall. Oh, yeah, I know that's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. He's not looking for us to do that. He says, you do that, then we got problems. So, you know, I pray that we learn to walk in fear of him for real, for real.
For real, for real.
For real, for real. You know, not just saying that we fear him and then, you know, we still have to do.
In real time,
we really learn to fear him for real, for real. That we tremble at his word. So we will be picking that up on tomorrow. Like I said, it seems like people who say that they believe in that they follow the law of the Most High, seems like the more you talk about the law, the faster they run. Trying to get away. You know, not excited about it. But I'm excited. Because I don't care who's right. I just want to know what's right.
Amen, bro.
So that way, I can't save you. I can't get you in the kingdom. I can only get myself in. But I have to hold myself accountable. And each and every person has to hold themselves accountable. You know, and then if we are one mind, then if you see me doing wrong, then you ought to tell me I'm doing wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
And encourage me to do right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, so we have to hold each other up.
Yeah.
And encourage one another. And, you know, when we're going through, not be afraid to share, because there is nothing new under the sun, and none of us are tempted with anything that is not common to man. And so you may have a thought and think you're the only one that ever had that thought. More than likely, you're not the only one that ever had that thought.
Sure.
Not the only one ever going through what you're going through.
Amen.
The thing is, can you be encouraged, and can somebody help you through it? So that's why he says, you know, don't be quick to tear somebody down.
Amen.
You know, but encourage them. If they keep showing that they don't want to do it, then that's a whole other thing. So I pray that the Most High encamp his angels around each and every one of you, that they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, my sisters, remember, I love you. I really do. But I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom. Oh, hold on.
Shalom,
brother.
Yeah, hold on a minute, because this wouldn't be right if we don't do this. I make a motion that we call this meeting, that we call this meeting to an end, that we adjourn this meeting.
I second.
All in favor?
No, I second. All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Got two ayes. I that. The ayes have it. This meeting is adjourned. Peace and blessing, my sisters.
Amen. Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
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 All right. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Without you, there's no need. I need a hand.